So last few weeks, we have been doing the sixth chapter where Bhagavan Sri Krishna gave us complete introduction. This is a complete chapter which tells us everything that we know, need to know about meditation, why we should meditate, what is the technique for meditation, all details were given, when and where is a good time, how to meditate, what are the results that we can expect, what are the obstacles that can come in our path when we sit for meditation and we try to quieten a mind, and what is the benefit of meditation, what is the end result. Last week we had covered it very well. Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Sarva Bhutastham Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshan. He says, once this person has discovered the Lord's presence within, then he sees God everywhere. He sees everything as that divinity. And he becomes equanimous. Because how can I love or hate anybody more than anybody else? Because they are all me. They are all my divine Krishna, my Jesus, my Guru Nanak. They are all there in everybody. And then in the next verse, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, last week, he talked about, Yo mam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam cha mai pashyati, tasya hamna pranashyami, sachamena pranashyati. He says, one who sees me everywhere, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, me means the self, the Brahman, the consciousness, sees me everywhere, then how can I be lost from him? Because I'm constantly with him. I'm in him. And I'm everywhere. So every tree he sees, every bird, every human, every plant, animal, everybody is that, even the inanimate object. So how can I be, they say, oh, God, I don't know where he is. I wish God would appear. He says, God says, I'm with you. I'm talking through you. I'm listening. And he says, Sarva Bhutasthitam Yoma Bhajatya Ekatva Mastitaha Sarvatha Vartamanopi Yogi Mai Vartate. Once he sees me everywhere, then no matter what job he's doing, he may be a gardener, he may be a king, he may be a president, he may be a business person, he may be a homeless, but if this person has discovered me within, then Sa Yogi Mai Vartate, he stays in me all the time. And so that was the benefit of, or the end result of a person, a yogi who has so much advanced in meditation, that for him, God is just like, you know, seeing him very easily, because he's there constantly. He doesn't have to struggle. He doesn't have to think, oh, when will God appear? God is with us. And so that is the benefit of this technique. And that is the benefit of this spiritual study. When we all come here, that is what we learn from the Lord, that God, I am with you at all times. And that is Kan Kan Mein Bhagwan. Don't they say in every cell of your body, the cell is growing, multiplying. How is it doing it? Because God is there. There are 7 billion cells, or 4 billion, I think. And every cell is multiplying, growing. Why? Because God is there. So where is God? God is constantly with us. And so that what it does is it gives us a closeness to God, that God is with me at all times. He's helping me. He's taking care of me. And secondly, it makes us loving and compassionate. And today we will do the last verse of this state of the yogi. And then after that, the remainder of this chapter is question answer. As you know, at the end of our class, we have 15 minutes for question answers and discussion. So here Arjuna has some questions, which very, very nice, very beautiful questions he asks. So we'll do Arjuna's questions today. And then Bhagavan's answers next week. So today is the verse number 32. In chapter 6, verse number 32. Atmam atmaupamyena sarvatra. Atmaupamyena sarvatra. Samam pashyati yorjuna. Sukham vayadi va dukham. Sayogi paramo matah.
Sayogi paramo matah.
Together. Atmaupam yena sarvatra. Samam pasyati yorjuna. Sukham vayadi vadukham. Sayogi paramo matah. So, mataha at the end, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, that is, my opinion and the opinion of great masters, great who have given us all the scriptures. In fact, our verse today is that let the scriptures be your guide. You know, we give a verse to the children every week. So, that is our verse today. So, he says, that is my opinion. So, what is the hallmark of a yogi? A yogi does not only mean one who is sitting in the forest in orange clothes, but a person who is spiritually evolved. So if I want to grow spiritually, these are the qualities we must have. So they are not only meant for some person sitting somewhere in a monastery or in a forest, but it is meant for all of us. If I want to be a spiritually evolved or a grown individual, these are the qualities I must have. They are required. It's a requirement. So he says, Atma upmyena sarvatra. Upma means comparison, similarity. So Atma upma. So means thinking everybody to be Atma. Atma here means the self, the I, the consciousness. For those who are new, this is our BMI chart that we use, where I have three equipments, body, mind and intellect. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And V represents vasanas, my habits, my tendencies. And Om represents the self, the Lord, the consciousness within. So he sees the same consciousness everywhere. This wise person, he or she, says everything is that, there is no similarity. He says the consciousness in you is the same as consciousness is in me, is the same as the one in the plant, the bird, the fish, even the stone, even though it is not alive, but has that same divinity in it. Atma upma upmyena sarvatra samam pasyati. Sarvatra, everywhere, whatever he sees, he says that is my Sri Krishna, that is my Shiva, that is my Lord. And he sees the same everywhere. It's not that the Lord is more in me than less in a plant or less in a stone. The divinity is the same everywhere. But the expression is different depending on the equipment. The plant has certain equipment where it can only grow. Animal can move around, but the animal can't think. Human beings, we can think, we can, you know, discriminate. So the equipment may be different, but the Om, the Lord, is the same. There is no difference. So samam pasyati yaha. Yaha means whoever that individual is. That's when he's saying, what it means is, yogi is not somebody who is sitting in the forest, but whoever it is out of us, whoever it may be, O Arjuna, he sees the same thing, sukham va yadi va dukham, whether there is joy or sorrow, whether he is in joy or sorrow, he does not get deviated from his vision. And even if there are others who are in joy or sorrow, he sees the oneness with them all. Sa yogi paramo mataha, that is a highest yogi. Parama means the highest yogi. Mataha, it is thought, it is considered, and I also consider that. So let us see a little bit. As we said, the self, the me, when I see myself everywhere, then how can I distinguish between what I love and what I don't love? Like in myself, in my body, we have talked that before also, my eyes, my fingers, my feet, my knees, all are important. Even if one part of the body gets sprained or gets a little strained, so you take care of all of them equally. It's not that just because my eyes are important, I love them more than my fingers. No, everything is important. And why I love all parts of my body? Because I am there everywhere. I am there in my toes. I am there all the way from head to the toe. Every part is important. So similarly, when this yogi sees me everywhere, because that is the same consciousness. In fact, everything is that divinity with name and form. That's what they say, that God alone was, Brahman alone was, and from Brahman emerged this whole universe. So just as a mud is there, all parts are mud, just with different name and form. There is a plate, a saucer, a vase. All waves are nothing but water, water with name and form. So similarly, this whole universe is Brahman with name and form. God alone is there everywhere. That is called Advaita, where there is not two. It's not that God and I are separate. God and I are one. Sometimes people misunderstand that what Vedanta says, I am God. We don't say, I am God. See, then that is ego. It is like a wave. Wave and ocean, is there any difference? Yes, there is a difference. Wave is small, ocean is big. Ocean is the origin, wave is the result. So from the ocean emerges the wave. So the wave says, I emerge from the ocean. Ocean is my creator. I am sustained in the ocean and I might perish in the ocean. So wave is small, ocean is big. But what is the essence of a wave and essence of ocean is water. So when the wave says, I am a tiny little wave and there is this huge ocean that is my creator, that is, you know, the true understanding. But inside he knows that the water in me is the same as the water in the ocean. So we are not separate. At the highest level, they are one. So similarly, I cannot say I am God because I am this tiny little creature. God is almighty, all powerful. He is my creator. He is my sustainer. He is my destroyer. My life is temporary. God is permanent. But the essence of me and the creator is Om, this Brahman, this consciousness. So that I have to understand, that everything is that divinity, including the creator, sustainer, destroyer, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. They are all the manifestation of that divinity. I am also a manifestation of that divinity. But I am a tiny manifestation. They are huge. I am a little wave. They are the ocean. So the humility always has to be there. If you say I am, that Vedanta is saying I am God, then you are misunderstanding the essence of. So I just wanted to clarify that, because it comes up again and again. I am Brahman. I am that divinity. But the humility should always be there, because I am a tiny manifestation of that divinity, just as a wave is a tiny manifestation of the water, which is the huge ocean, is the huge. And this verse is very practical. See, what happens is that in the other religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, a lot of emphasis is given on practical living. You know, live, especially like Jesus, you know, love thy brother as thy, love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In Hinduism, sometimes we find that people who have studied a lot, they start thinking very high, and you know that, oh, all the purpose of life is detachment, purpose of life is, you know, self-enlightenment, you know, nothing, this world is, you know, Maya, it's not worth dealing. So they get all these wrong ideas. So the point is that in Hinduism also, there are all these beautiful shlokas which tell us how to deal with others, how to deal with the world, how to be practical, how to help others. But we sometimes, in studying this, especially if you start studying Upanishads and Brahma Sutras and all, where they say this world is mithya, world is illusion, world is maya, then they say, what is the use? No, the world is there as long as you and I are in this human body. We have to deal with the world and we have to treat the world. Yes. Inside, we may be evolving where we are slowly, slowly become one with that in consciousness. But if you look at the lives of saints, they were so compassionate, so loving. So that's why this is a very practical verse. As I said, my body is everywhere And such people who have evolved then spontaneously serve. Why? Out of compassion, not out of feeling of superiority. But just as example they gave, my finger pokes into my eye. Will I cut off my finger? No, I will love my finger still. I will use the same finger to caress my eye because it's red and it's hurting. So similarly, even somebody hurts them, they have love, they have compassion for all. But you and I, what we do is that our faults, we want people to overlook. We don't want to overlook others' faults. Like if I am late, you know, for a meeting, and I show up there and the person says, why are you late? He said, what's it? It's few minutes, you know, I just got stuck in traffic. But next time when I am waiting and that guy doesn't show up, he's late, we're all the time looking at our clock and we are getting angry. I know one doctor who he always is late, always is half an hour late, 1 hour late. And he makes the staff wait, makes other doctors wait. But if any time he's on time and the other doctor is late, or the staff is not ready, he gets so upset. And that's how we all are. We don't see our faults, but right away we are able to point others' faults. You know, it's like they say, you want to know your faults? Just ask your wife. She'll give you a 45-minute list. So faults finding in others is very easy, but one has to be conscious of our faults. And by acknowledging our faults, say I get angry very easily, then even if I realize that somebody else gets angry at me, if I do not respond to anger with anger, it becomes curative. That person is angry, he's shouting, and I'm calm, I forgive him, I am not angry. Then what happens is the situation gets diffused. And that's what ahimsa is. Ahimsa is non-violence, as Gandhiji taught us. But it's not only non-violence indeed. You know, that of course everybody knows, like you can't go around slapping people or hitting people, because what will happen? He'll call 911 and the police will come and arrest you. So physical violence we are very careful about, but verbal violence, you know, we go around telling people things that are hurtful, or telling things people that are wrong or not, or not even honest, not even truthful, and that, you know, we say it's okay. But the worse violence than that is the violence in thoughts. When you think negatively about a person, even though you may not say anything, you know, like your boss or somebody, you're afraid of him, but you have in thoughts violence, then what it does, it first of all, sooner or later, it will express in your speech, in your actions. But even if it doesn't, it hurts you most. So that's why ahimsa has to be practiced at all levels, at body level, speech level, and thought level. So, as we said, when this wise person sees somebody else in joy, he doesn't get overjoyed, or himself if things are going well. Wow, I am so great. Things are going wonderful. Oh, because what happens? Then his mind gets disturbed. Because tomorrow, if there is sorrow, then since he was so elated, when sorrow comes, then he becomes totally depressed. Not only that, but somebody else comes to him with sorrow, right? He's suffering and he's crying. And if the wise person sits down and starts crying with him, oh yeah, you know, he's also crying and the other person is also crying, then that is not seeing oneness. Seeing oneness is that I remain balanced, and this person who is suffering, who is in sorrow, maybe they have lost a family member or some big crisis or health, I remain compassionate and I share his sorrow. I don't start crying with him when I don't lose my balance. So that's what he says, sukham va yadi va sukham, in joy and sorrow, this person remains balanced. Does not mean that he's cold, you know, mujhe kya, mujhe to kuch lena dena. No, he sees that everybody is me and he is willing to share his joy and sorrow with everybody. There's a very beautiful story I recently heard. So there was this king who tells his prime minister, that I want you to buy, get me something which instantly will make a happy person unhappy and will make an unhappy person happy. The same thing I want. There's one thing should make everybody who is happy instantly unhappy. And one who is unhappy should instantly make him happy. Prime Minister says, where am I going to find? He says, you need to find. And here's 1,000 gold coins. You can give 500 to the person who gives you this thing and you keep 500. But I want it within 1 month. And if you don't get it, you will be fired from the post. You know, so the Prime Minister says, now within 1 month, I have to find this. So he starts thinking, you know, he can't think of anything else. He asks other ministers, they can't think. He starts going through the town and the village. You know, he has 1 month. Do you have anything that will make somebody happy into unhappy and somebody unhappy into happy? So we never even heard of such a thing, you know, that it cannot be. But the king wants it. If he doesn't get it, he fire me. He might even, you know, put me to death. That's what kings used to do. So he finally goes to this village and they say there is a wise sonar, you know, jeweler who seems to have an answer for everything. He's a very wise, older person. Go to him. So he goes and says, sir, you know, this is my 28th day. I only have 2 days left. And can you give me something that will make a happy person? He said, yeah, I have it. Why didn't you come sooner? He said, well, I didn't know. He says, here, take this coin and give it to the king. And if the king is happy, he said, okay, if the king is happy, I'll give you 500 gold coins. He said, okay, so he goes to the king and gives him the coin. And the coin says, this too shall pass. This will also pass. That means if you are happy, you have to understand that this will all, happiness will go away. So that will should make you unhappy. If you are unhappy, you don't keep on complaining. You say, well, that unhappiness will also pass. So this understanding that whatever is there, joy and sorrow is all temporary. Anything in this world is temporary. The only permanent thing is Bhagwan, the Lord, the Self. So constantly remember that and then you will get permanent joy. So that what they're saying is don't depend on joy from the world because that is temporary and that will also pass. And then such an individual's love is not commercial. See, your and my love, we have a very business-like relationship. I love this person so that this person can love me back. Or I love this person, why? Because he can provide me security or she can provide me some joy or this person can get me a job. So our love is totally a business. You know, if she doesn't love me back, then I don't love her either. But a wise person says, it is my privilege to love everybody. I love everybody regardless of whether they are helpful to me or not, whether they love me back or not. So he says, my job is to love. If somebody loves me back, fine. If not, they cannot escape from my love. Nobody can. So the ability to love everybody regardless of, that is called seeing the oneness. And what they are saying is that we have to change our entire life. This Bhagavad Gita cannot only is something for me to intellectually understand. I must intellectually understand. At the mind level, I should develop love for all. And at the body level, I should serve all. So, and my vasanas have to become reduced. Negative vasanas have to be reduced. Positive vasanas increase. So my whole personality has to change. Not only that, it has to change the entire society. So we are a part of society. As we change, people around us will notice the benefit. They say, what is the benefit of studying these scriptures? You change and the world around you will change. That's what Gurudev said. He said, don't try to change others. You change yourself. Once you get improvement, then others will see, wow, you know, this person is getting better. And it has to start from children. See, what we think, they are too small. But we have to teach them right values from childhood. And the video games they have and the, you know, all these computer games, they are full of so much violence. You know, they are shooting. It used to be Pac-Man and all. Now, of course, I don't keep track because my kids are grown up. But It's the same thing, you know. It's just these games where these objects are coming and they are shooting and killing, and we encourage them. Oh, you know, he got 5,000 points. Now he got 8,000 points. It's horrible, you know, these games which teach them violence. We may think that it is just computer, but for children, the difference between pediatricians can say that there is, for them, this looks real. For them, reality and unreality gets very quickly merged. So it's very important to teach children from the right values, teach them love, teach them compassion, teach them avoid getting them violent games. And that's what in Bal Vihar, all our teachers are teaching the children, teaching them love, compassion, kindness, you know, sharing and all. So we cannot, and that's why we see in schools, you know, there are so many incidents of violence. Kids are taking guns to school and killing other kids. You know why? Because he was bullying me. So what his solution is? He gets his father's gun. You know, father has not locked it, kept somewhere, and he goes and he kills. And then they say, oh, this kid, and they put him in jail. No, the father should be put in jail for keeping a gun, and secondly, for not, you know, teaching the child right things. So whole of society has to change. And what this person, wise person, understands that I am Sat, Chit, and Anand. Sat means existence, Chit means knowledge, and Anand means bliss. And that is not only me, but that is the qualities of Brahman, the total consciousness, is ever existing, is all knowing, and is ever blissful. So that is what they say. God is all knowing. You know, they say, oh, God knows everything. He knows your thoughts. God always was, always is, and always will be. And he is Anand. He is all bliss. So when I understand I am Sat, Chit, Anand, that means I always want to exist. I want to be comfortable. Then I have to make sure others exist too and they are comfortable. I cannot say I am comfortable, but I interfere with the comfort of others. As far as Chit, knowledge, I don't want people to take advantage of my ignorance, right? If I don't know something, somebody comes and cheats me and sells me some product that is defective and I didn't know that, like a car or something, and then I say, oh, I didn't know this car had this defect. So if I don't want others to take advantage of my ignorance, then I should not be taking advantage of others' ignorance. And then Anand, just as I want to remain in joy, everybody has a right to be happy. So seeing this oneness everywhere and consciously making an effort to make everybody feel comfortable, that is the hallmark of a wise person. And that is what we have to try and create in our life. So that is this beautiful, beautiful verse where Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, treat everybody as you would want to be treated. So here, Bhagavan's teachings of the sixth chapter of meditation is ended. And Bhagavan says, you know what Arjuna is going to say? Bhagavan, that was the best talk on meditation. You gave so many good pointers. From tomorrow, I'm going to meditate. But Arjuna doesn't do that. Arjuna raises doubts. He wants to poke holes in this argument, which is good. You know, it's good for a person to ask. See, the way to ask question is ask respectfully and having understood, instead of just some people just like to criticize. But here Arjuna has a genuine doubt, and we'll see Arjuna's doubts the next two verses, and then Bhagavan's answer.